Being American is more than a pride we inherit. It's the past we step into and how we repair it. We've seen a force that would shatter our nation rather than share it, would destroy our country if it meant delaying democracy. And this effort very nearly succeeded. But while democracy can be periodically delayed, it can never be permanently defeated.
Welcome to 10 Minutes on Democracy. I'm Jason Franklin, Senior Advisor at One for Democracy, and today is Tuesday, March 21st. That clip was from Amanda Gorman's poem, The Hill We Climb, which she recited at the inauguration of Joe Biden in Washington, D.C. on January 20th, 2021. We've shared that poem here before on 10 Minutes on Democracy, but I wanted to share it again today as this is actually the final 10 Minutes on Democracy podcast, so we're calling it a wrap after almost 100 episodes. If I had to leave you with any one clip, I find Gorman's poetry and her brilliance as a young African-American woman giving voice to the next generation of struggle and optimism for democracy just apropos, and I couldn't think of anything better to leave you with. This podcast was launched 2 years ago in March of 2021, in a moment when donors and allies were asking us constantly for help understanding what they should be paying attention to amidst the many attacks on and the organizing efforts to preserve and strengthen our democracy. We've continued a weekly update to try to span both national headlines and more obscure and local developments across the field of democracy, but also we've seen the whole field advance and more offerings come, and so it's really time to wrap this podcast. Also, after almost 3 years of serving as One for Democracy senior advisor, I'll be wrapping up later this spring, and O4D is reviewing the ways that it helps support and communicate with donors to invest thoughtfully in strengthening our democracy. I encourage you to check out their website at onefordemocracy.org to take the pledge if you have the capacity to do so. I'm a pledger and we'll see you there as a pledger for years to come. And for all of our pledgers who are listening, I hope you'll engage with the O4D staff and other pledgers through the community listserv and events. And if you're looking for advice on your giving, of course, always happy to help here at Catysis Capital. And you can reach me and my team at info@catysiscapital.com. So as we look at the key developments this week and our final reflections, I thought I'd rather than frame my kind of recounting and updates around One for Democracy's four pillars of democracy, which are crucial: increasing civic and democratic participation, protecting and modernizing election administration, strengthening democratic norms and institutions, and shifting narratives and improving the media ecosystem. Instead, I wanted to frame my reflections today around three recommendations for you as you keep track of democracy news from other sources versus this podcast. Every week I've pulled together the kind of topics that I talk about from New York Times and Washington Post and other main news organizations, from specialty political sources like American Prospect and Politico and Punchbowl, from a whole range of Substack newsletters and movement and democracy funder and field organizers and their newsletters and updates. But across all of those different sources, three things I'd suggest, and it's things I try to hold for myself and that I think for any of us as individual donors or activists or organizers or just concerned citizens, really important as you think about how to understand the news about democracy. First, of course, pay attention to the big headlines, but also really think about what are both the political and the democracy dynamics at play within those stories. So for example, this week, the big news is the likely pending indictment of Trump for a potential campaign finance violation involving hush money that he paid to porn star Stormy Daniels. Now, this would be the first time a former president has ever been indicted on a criminal charge. And the case itself will likely turn on whether prosecutors can prove that the payment was an illegal, undocumented campaign contribution that hid unflattering information about Trump. But some high-level prosecutors and Democratic officials are worried about the legal merits of the case and fear that it could actually help Trump. One analyst recently said it's an open and shut books and on records misdemeanor, but to elevate to a felony is more complicated. So when you track a story like this, we have to think both about the implications. Democrats have longed for Trump to face legal accountability, but they're afraid that this first court test could actually be a political loser and could also actually undermine future cases against him, including those in Georgia and the National Department of Justice investigation that are ongoing. So there's questions for both the political implications for the presidential election. Will it damage or help Trump's outcomes in the primary? What will it play out in the general election if he moves forward? There's also broader questions around democracy and the rule of law. How are leaders held accountable? And so we have to be paying attention to the headlines, but also pausing to think about the implications. Second thing I would suggest is really to pay attention to the emerging stories or the headlines really for the political news junkies versus the mainstream audience. These stories have big implications for the future of our politics and our democracy. And what I've seen is that donors often don't catch them as quickly and don't incorporate their implications into their giving strategies. So when you're thinking about how to be effective as a donor, how to be engaged in the fight to protect democracy, you need to not just read the biggest news headline, but think about what else is emerging. So this week, we've got continued developments in the court cases in both North Carolina and Ohio about congressional maps. The North Carolina Supreme Court appears poised to strike down the state's fair congressional maps, which could lead to an 8-seat swing in the House if Republicans in North Carolina dramatically re-gerrymander their map. So right now you're looking at a 7-Republican, 7-Dem congressional map as the likely outcome. Potentially could move as far as an 11-Republican, 3-Dem map if it was gerrymandered again. Ohio, you're also seeing a shift of potentially 3 seats. So these two states could really determine or have big implications for the balance of power in the next Congress. You're also seeing moves around the third-party dynamics in the presidential election. As I talked about last week, we already had Arizona and Colorado and Oregon qualify for the No Labels Party. Now Alaska has qualified, and it appears that Alabama, Florida, North Carolina, and Ohio may also include the No Labels Party on their federal elections with their own ballot line. And so adding from Arizona, but also now Florida and North Carolina, you're putting other key battleground states. You're also putting states like Ohio, which has an upcoming Senate election, into play. So what will that mean for the presidential election? You're also seeing Andrew Yang, former Democratic candidate for president, his Forward Party is also now collecting signatures seeking to qualify for a federal line in the Arizona presidential election. And so if the Forward Party gains momentum, you'd have 2 potential third parties. So understanding that, paying attention, what could that mean for elections that are a year away, really is important. And finally, we always have to look beyond the national headlines. What's happening in states? What's happening locally? And especially we have to try to look beyond just the biggest battleground states or the occasional headline about a state that pops up in one of the big national newspapers. If you can, following things like the markup, which comes out every week from the Voting Rights Lab, can be a great way to keep on top of the local stories that you're not tracking. So we need to be paying attention to how things are changing in the states, because they are actually the vast majority of elections, and the vast majority of policy that gets passed that affects people's day-to-day lives happens in states. But also so much of our election law is still state-level law. And so the implications for who can participate in an election, what's the strength of our democracy, lies in the states, and we can't overlook them. This week, we're seeing challenges emerge in places like Mississippi, where the Mississippi Senate has approved a bill to potentially remove voters from the rolls if they're inactive for a period of just 2 years. And in Texas, we're seeing multiple concerning things moving forward. The Texas Senate has approved a bill raising the penalty for illegal voting from a misdemeanor to a second-degree felony, which could include fines of $10,000 or more and up to 20 years in prison. Again, this is a intimidation tactic, because almost always the rare handful of people who do vote illegally and improperly did so by accident. So to make people worried that they might face a felony if they're not sure if they can vote means they'll be more likely to not vote at all. We also saw the Texas Director of Elections, Keith Ingram, who was opposed to pulling Texas out of ERIC, the National Coalition for Managing the Voter Rolls, was reassigned to a different role in the Texas Secretary of State's office, pulling him out of that conversation. Further concern about Texas's trajectory with ERIC, and Ohio has officially withdrawn from ERIC itself. So a lot of challenges emerging this week. mostly in more conservative states or split states over questions of election integrity, access to the ballot. But you'll also continue to see celebrations, and we need to pay attention to those, lift them up, figure out how we can spread them into other states. So this week, New Mexico formally passed their new omnibus voting rights bill, sending it over to Governor Grisham for her signature. And it's a big expansion of voting rights in New Mexico. New Mexico is a great example of a state that has seen deep investment in pro-democracy reforms over more than a decade. And really to see them bearing fruit now is something to be inspired by and excited by and hope to see in other parts of the country. So some recommendations and suggestions for how to read the news and keep up to date. I encourage you again to check out One for Democracy. Reach out to my team at Catisis Capital if we can be a help. But that's all for this week's review of American Democracy. And that's all for this podcast, 10 Minutes on Democracy. It's been a privilege to share weekly updates with you all. And I hope that you continue to be engaged in the long, long-term fight to protect and strengthen our democracy. Take care.